Well, good morning, church. Happy New Year. Welcome to 2021. We made it. I thought there'd be more applause. 2020's over. As your campus pastor, I'm really excited to preach this morning. I was texting Pastor Rob, and I said, Pastor Rob, thank you for the opportunity. It's an honor to preach. Thank you. And I was really excited when I got to hear campus pastors, you guys are preaching the first Sunday of the new year. I'm like, let's go. That's awesome. And you're preaching on prayer and fasting. And I'm like, come on. Prayer and not eating food. Are you kidding me? Like, I want something like prayers of faith, or, you know, just like we're taking the, and it's like prayer and fasting. And I'm like, awesome, super exciting. Gonna get people fired up, not eating food. But no, it honestly, I joke, we're beginning the 21 days of prayer and fasting as a church. We do this because we want to start the year fast, spiritually. You know, I'm a Vikings fan. I'm a tortured Vikings fan. And I always want the Vikings to start fast in the game. If they get the ball, I want them to score a touchdown. If they start on defense, I want a three and out. And it rarely happens. So if they can't start fast, I want to start fast spiritually in 2021. Because listen, church, in 2021, I want to see God move. Does anyone want to see God move in 2021? Does anyone want to see God move in your life, in your family, in your workplace, in your community, in your relationships, in your thinking, in your emotions? Does anyone want to see God do some miracles in 2021? I don't know about you. I want to see God move this year. I want to see God move this year. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as Christians, we're like, God, we really pray you show up in this service today. Can I just tell you something? We're talking about 21 days of prayer and fasting. That's a bad prayer, because Jesus already promised when we gather that he will show up. He says, where two or three are gathered, I will be there among you. That's a promise. We don't have to ask for it. He said he's going to do it. We just have to be aware to it. So, you know, I'm just thinking in 2021, I'm not going to ask God to show up. I'm going to ask God, will you wake me up to what you're doing this year? Because I want to be a part of it. I want to see you move. And I have a story from the Old Testament, 2 Kings verse 6. Let me set this up. Okay, Elisha is a prophet of Israel, Israel being God's people. And there was a warring country that wanted to attack and take over Jerusalem, the capital of Israel. But Elisha was a prophet. He heard from God. And so Elisha went to the king of Israel and said, listen, so-and-so is going to move here, so don't do that. And he kept thwarting the plans of this enemy nation. And they got word to the king of this enemy nation that, hey, they got a man of God, Elisha, who keeps telling the king of Israel what to do. And he goes, what? And so we get to 2 Kings verse 13, and the king goes, go, find out where he is so I can send men and capture him. Well, the report came back, he is in Dothan. Then he sent horses and chariots and a strong military force there. They went by night, and then they surrounded the city. Well, Elisha was with his intern, okay? Verse 15, it says, when the servant of the man of God, this is the intern, got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. And he's freaking out. Oh, my God. Do you see? Elisha, do you see? We're surrounded. It's done. It's over. And Elisha goes, don't be afraid. He said, those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And Elisha prayed, God, open his eyes so that he may see. Then the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked, and he saw the hills full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. And as the enemy came toward him, Elisha prayed to the Lord, strike this army with blindness. So he struck them with blindness, as Elisha had said, confuse them, and they were gone. I want God to open my eyes this year. I want to see what God's doing, because God's moving. Church, I just told you, we don't need to ask God to show up. We need to ask God to wake me up to what you're doing. I want to be a part of how you're moving this year, because the reality, church, is that your natural eye cannot see heavenly things. if you're just living life according just to your just the natural order, you're not going to see heavenly things. And it's only God who can open our eyes. And can I tell you, he wants to open your eyes this year. He wants to include you in on what he's doing in this city, in this state, and in this country. He wants to include you. And so I'm saying, God, open my eyes, because the reality is, and my prayer for you is that we want to see God move. I want to see him move this year. And can I tell you, those that are already seeing it, those whose eyes are already open, who knows that God can open them more? Who knows that God wants to include you in on more? Who knows that God wants to see you see what he is doing and bring you along? Because when God moves, he's not just moving apart from us. Because when God moves, he wants us to be an active participant with his moving. And so we pray and we step out and we act in faith. And so we have to be active participants. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 3:9, he says, we are God's fellow workers. That literally means we're God's co-workers. He works with us, through us, for his purposes. And I want to be used by God. Don't you want to be used by God? Don't you want to see miracles happen? Don't you want to be a part of miracles happening here on earth? You know, Jesus says in Matthew 28, he goes, it's called the great co-mission. It's not the great mission of the church. It's the great co-mission of the church, because he is with us in the mission. He includes us, but it requires us to move. It says in 1 Peter 1:21, no prophecy, this is a word spoken by God through people, no prophecy was ever produced by the will of man, but men spoke from God as they were carried along, moved by the Holy Spirit. I want to see God move. But if I want to see God move, that's going to require me to move. Amen. So I just want to let you know, this sermon today is like the pep rally, okay? This is not home. This isn't the homecoming game today. We're not going to get the win today here in this service. Today, my job is to be pep rally coordinator. I don't even know what it's called. The teacher in charge of the pep rally, just to get you fired up, because the win comes tomorrow. The win comes Tuesday. The win comes when you're at work and you're frustrated and you're angry and you don't feel like praying. And God's like, yo, I still want to use you. I still want to use you. And so that's what today is. Because I want to experience the move of God. But in order to experience the move of God, we have to move forward in and through Jesus Christ. Okay? So this is the big idea today. If we want to see God move more than we ever have, that means we need to pursue God like we never have. Are you ready? It's 2021, church. I want to see you move. You just got all excited. Like, we want to see God move. Well, then we got to move. We need to pursue him. So we're going to talk about pursuing him in reading the Bible. We're going to talk about pursuing him in prayer. We're going to talk about pursuing him in fasting. The first one is, if we want to see God move like we never have before, then we need to read the Bible like we never have before. Quick word on the Bible. Jesus in John chapter 5, verse 39. He says, you search the scriptures because you think they give you eternal life. But the scriptures point to me. You cannot get into heaven by memorizing scripture. Like, you don't get on God's good side by sitting down and reading through the Bible. Because the whole point of the Bible isn't the Bible. The whole point of the Bible is that it is Jesus. John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and he was God, and he was with God in the beginning. The Word is Christ, and Jesus himself says, it's me. You read all this, and you missed it. So if they missed it, that means we can read it and miss it. And so that's why we know, Jesus, I want to get close to you. This is about you. This is about how you love me. You made a way for me, and I want to get to know you more. Okay, there's an old rabbinic saying that says, the more Torah, the more life. Now, the Torah is what old rabbis would call the first five books of the Bible, the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. And Jesus said, I didn't come to abolish the law. I came to fulfill the law. So those are the five books of the law. Jesus says, I'm the fulfillment of the law. And so it even applies. The more scripture, the more life. By the transitive spiritual property of, you know, like you read scripture, you're getting closer to Jesus. The point isn't scripture, the point is Jesus. And the more scripture, the closer you are getting to Jesus. And this year, we are doing the SOAP Sprint. SOAP is the acronym of our Bible reading plan. It's what we call our Bible reading plan at River Valley Church. Each letter stands for the scripture. It's just what we read, observation, you know, things that the Holy Spirit points out to us as we read scripture, and then an application, how we apply it to our lives that day. Then we pray about it. That's what SOAP stands for. We always have to tell people because it's like, hey, we love to have you join SOAP. And you're like, what? Yeah, like a body wash here? Like a River Valley Church body? No. It's our Bible reading plan. But we're reading through the whole New Testament starting today, and it's an investment in your life. Now, one of my favorite verses about God's word is Psalm 119, verse 105. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light to my path. And I have this little illustration. I've shared it before. Maybe if you've been here for a while, you remember it. But a couple years ago, I was leading a youth missions trip, a global team to El Salvador. We had 100 students on the team. Praise Jesus. And no, it was crazy. I was like, what have I done? And we're staying in this compound in El Salvador. Beautiful compound. These missionaries had been there for decades, just ministering to the people of El Salvador. And they had this compound, and up the hill is where the guys stayed. And then down the hill is where the girls stayed. And then where, you know, we'd have breakfast, lunch, and dinner, and where we would meet as a team. And between, you know, these two spots where the guys were, was a big soccer field. Now, in El Salvador, they don't have, like, a lawn service. They don't even, it's hard to get even, like, lawnmowers there. And so they have horses that just walk around and eat grass. Those are their lawnmowers. And so, guys up here, soccer field, where we would meet. And at night, the sun would go down at like 6:30 because El Salvador is close to the equator. And so at night, it's like, it's dark and we're walking. We got to walk through this soccer field. And so, can I tell you how grateful I was to have my phone in my pocket, get my flashlight on, and I'm like, oh, not going here. Oh, we're going to step over here now. Oh, I'm going this way now. My phone light was a lamp under my feet and a light in my path so that I would avoid horse landmines. Now, how many horse landmines have you walked into because God's word has not been the lamp unto your feet and light unto your path? It is the word that guides us. It helps us. It encourages us and it moves us. Your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light into our path. So we're going to read the scripture on our own through the whole New Testament starting today. But I do want to let you know, I want to encourage you, engage in God's word with community as well. Now, I hate to break it to you. You know, as much as we like to say, like, hey, we welcome home, this is family, it's hard to really be in community when you're sitting in rows, right? It's way easier to be in community when you're sitting in circles, around tables. And so starting January 25th, we are starting our core groups up at the Minnetrista campus. Across the whole church, we're doing this on Monday nights. And if I want my biggest plug I'm going to give to you right now is this. We have Alpha. It's every Monday night. And you'll be able to register for this online, rivervalley.org, starting this week. And Alpha is an 11-week course on every Monday night. And I teach Alpha. And so if you've never been through Alpha, like January 25th, put in your calendar, come. You're not only going to get to know me better as your campus pastor, if you've never been a part of it, but we're going to go through just the basics of Christianity. Why and how do I pray? Why did Jesus have to die? You know, why and how do I read the Bible? How can I pray for healing? We just go through just really basic stuff. And I'm telling you, I know how to read the Bible in New Testament Greek. I've gone through Alpha and I'm learning stuff every time I go through it. Every time you're going to learn something. So if you've never been a part of Alpha, you're like, well, I've been a Christian for 30 years and I know it. No, you don't. Because you haven't sat with people and heard their perspective and been able to communicate with them and talk with them and build relationships with the group of people that will be a part of Alpha this these Monday nights starting January 25th. Right, Ericsons? You guys were part of it. You guys loved Alpha. That was awesome. Talk to those guys if you need more encouragement to be a part of Alpha. But we also have Freedom. That happens on Monday nights as well, as long as we do Alpha. Freedom is, it's not just addiction ministry. It's, hey, there's things in our lives that we have hang-ups on. And it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. And so we learn how to apply the truth and power of Jesus Christ to our lives and learn to be free people, followers of Jesus Christ. And then finally, Pastor Josh Kriegler and his wife Krista lead Explore. And as we talked about mission trips, yeah, we're the church that's sending a global team to Turkey in 2021, right? Our heart is global. Our heart is for the lost around both here and around the world. And Explore teaches us and helps us learn what it's like to have a heart that is global day in and day out, right? So you need to be a part of Explore. So Tuesday nights is in our women's group, Sisterhood, which is amazing. We're so excited to have Sisterhood back. We have a men's group called Promise Principle, which our men are just going to be reading through scripture on Tuesday nights together. We have Go Core, which is our kids ministry for kindergarten through fifth grade. And then Wednesday night, something near and dear to my heart, is our youth ministry for sixth through 12th grade. I love our youth ministry, what God's doing through Pastor Andrew and our youth leader team. rivervalley.org. You want more information, rivervalley.org, to get signed up for all those. But you need to be in community and engage in God's word with community, and you need to read God's word on your own and engage with God's word on your own. You need both. Healthy Christians have both, and we do both. And so we are, yes, going to start reading through the New Testament today. Get the app, River Valley Church app. Go on YouVersion. Get search River Valley Church New Testament Soap Sprint, 9 chapters a day. You can do it. I'm your campus pastor. You will do it. We're going to encourage you. And if you have any concerns or you're angry at me that I just said you will read through the New Testament in 27 days, you can email me your complaints at andrew.sneed@rivervalley.org. Okay? If you're new, that's not my email. That's our youth pastor's email. But if we want to see God move like we never have before, we need to read his word like we never have before. And if we want to see God move like we never have before, church, we need to pray like we never have before. I love this quote from Corrie Ten Boom. Is prayer your steering wheel or your spare tire? Let that sit for a second. But very simply, prayer is simply just communicating with God, talking with God. It's not a monologue to God. It's a dialogue where you speak, you sit, you listen, you hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. My prayer life changed almost 5 years ago, because it was just February 5 years ago. I lost my dad. My dad died. And he's in heaven. I grieve. You know, I still miss him. There's not a day that goes by I don't think about my dad. But it was shortly after his death that I was driving down the road on 394, and I just remember it so vividly. I just wanted to call my dad. I missed him. I wanted to tell him what was going on in life. He was a preacher. He was one of the best preachers in the world, and wanted to talk shop with him. And I just remember I just was sitting there, and I missed my dad, my earthly dad. And then I heard the voice of my heavenly father, and he said, listen, your dad's with me. He's fine. He's okay. He's better than okay. But I'm here. Son, what do you want to say? It's my heavenly father. My heavenly father wanted to speak with me. So I just let a rip. I'm bawling driving down the road. You know? Your heavenly father's there. He wants to hear you. He wants you to talk to him. And as we talk about a heavenly father, maybe you have a bad relationship with your earthly father or no relationship with your earthly father. Can I just tell you, there's no earthly father that's perfect, but there is a heavenly father who's perfect. So I'm not going to project my earthly father onto my perfect heavenly father. Everything I wish my earthly father was, my heavenly father is and more. And he's there. And he wants to hear you. He wants to know the dreams, the hurt, the pain, the struggles, the triumphs, just the day-to-day. God, I'm tired of doing dishes. Well, I'm with you as you do it, you know? He wants to hear it all. He wants to hear it all. In fact, Jesus gives us a pattern on how to pray. I'm going to go through this really quickly, but it's the Lord's Prayer. And if you're a good Catholic or Lutheran, you know the Lord's Prayer. You know, you could shut your eyes and you could say it in your sleep, right? And you surely can pray this prayer word for word with your heart and mean it. And that's a great prayer. And Jesus is like, this is how you should pray. I do like to think that Jesus gives us a pattern, though, for prayer, to develop a relationship with our Heavenly Father. And so in Matthew 6:9-13, he says, this then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven. Everything starts with P, so work with me here. Paternal recognition, because Jesus gives us a pattern to pray. So he gives us, like, you're my dad. You know, sometimes we go to God in prayer and we just start confessing sin. We just feel so guilty. You're like, I'm so sorry. Listen, there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So when we pray, don't start with your sin. Pray, start with your relationship with him. Just be like, you're my dad. I love you. And you love me. And you're in heaven and you're above this all. And so I'm going to you. So it's recognizing, Father, I'm your son. I'm your daughter. I know you're there. The next is we go to hallowed be your name. Holy is your name. It's praise. We just praise God. God, I worship you. I thank you for who you are. Every time I pray with my kids, we talk about who God is. God, you're loving. You're with us. You're powerful. You're merciful. You provide for us. I want my kids to know who God is. And we pray when we praise him, it reminds us who God is. And then your kingdom come. It's asking God for his presence, that I would know your presence is here, that I'd experience your presence. I know it's here, but help me to realize it. And then your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Pray God's purpose over your life, because I got a will. I got plans. I have things I want to do. But if I prayed about it, you know, God, your will be done. On earth, in my life, in my home, in my job, in my church, with my family, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven, praying purpose. And then give us today our daily bread, praying God for provision, recognizing he is our source. Now, this both is physical and spiritual. God, meet my needs today. God, you know what's coming up. Will you help me? And then God, my daily bread, my spiritual needs. Listen, why you need to pray and why you need to read scripture on your own is because you can't live off of this message I'm preaching right now tomorrow, because it's meant for today, and God's got something more for you tomorrow, and then he's got more for you the next day. So my daily bread, and then forgive us our sins. Now work with me. Again, everything starts with P. It's Passover. It's a reference to the Old Testament, but it speaks to Jesus Christ because of his sacrifice, his death on the cross, and his resurrection from the grave, that God looks past my sin, and he sees Jesus, and he sees me as Jesus. Like, think about that. Like, we're clothed with Christ, and he sees us. God, through Jesus Christ, we become the righteousness of God. So forgive my sins, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Notice how Jesus says, as we also will forgive our debtors. He says, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Pray for the people in your life. And if there's bitterness, if there's unforgiveness, if there's I forgive them. Holy Spirit, I forgive them as you have forgiven me. And then lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one as protection. God, protect me from every evil influence I would try to get into my life and get my eyes off of Jesus. And not even evil influences, but just natural influences that keep me from seeing the supernatural. Next, I want to just share my favorite verse on prayer, Philippians 4, 6, and 7. I just got to read this. I mean, these verses just speak for themselves. Don't be anxious or worried about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Don't be worried about anything. Can I tell you something? Last week, Pastor Rob preached an amazing message about, like, hey, we need to leave some things behind in 2020. You know what one of my things I left behind in 2020 was? God, I leave behind being worried about tomorrow. Because why do I need to be worried about tomorrow? Why do I need to be worried about what tomorrow holds when I know the one who holds my tomorrow? So I'm leaving that worry behind. But church, how much different would your life look if you prayed as much as you currently worry? Because because that's what, it's like, don't worry, pray. Pray. And you're like, well, I want to pray and I want to know why and I want to understand. He goes, well, that's not what's promised. What's promised is peace that surpasses understanding. So when we pray, we receive peace. And then after we receive peace, we know understanding may come later. But I'm good sitting with the peace right now. All right? Pray. Pray. And the more we pray and read the word, the more we can learn to hear the voice of the Holy Spirit. Do you know Jesus with prayer? He made the connection possible. Okay? You got to know with our sin, there's no connection there with the Heavenly Father. But Jesus, through his life, his perfect life, and then his sacrifice on the cross, and then his resurrection from the grave, established a connection for us that we can have with the Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ, so we can now pray. We can pray, we can talk to God, we can hear God back, and it's only through Jesus that we have that connection. But as we grow in prayer, the connection broadens. Now, is your prayer life, I want you guys to hear this, is your prayer life like this? The older people are going to get this. Some of you haven't heard this in a long time. I'm going to tell you, I was a kid when I first heard this. You can cut it. I'm getting anxious right now. I'm like, are there demons coming out of my computer? What is this? For those that are too young to know what that is, we used to have to plug the telephone line into our computer, and that's how we went on the internet, and it was slow as molasses. It was so, and then if someone picked up the phone to make a phone call, they're like, I'm on the internet, get off! I just lost my email! I mean, it was a train wreck. But there was a connection there. It just wasn't a broad, clean, fast connection. Is your connection with God through prayer like dial-up, or is it like 5G, LTE, internet, wherever I go, I'm watching Pixar movies on the bus. You know what I'm saying? Like, I want this kind of fast, clean, broad connection to God with my prayer life. And as we continue to pray and as we continue to grow in that spiritual discipline, the connection broadens. It's quick. It's there. I hear it. It's fast. I hear him. I react. So if we want to see God move like we never have, we need to pray like we never have. And then finally, if we want to see God move like we never have, we need to fast like we never have. Now, prayer and fasting. Fasting aligns our physical nature to our spiritual nature. I'll just tell you this. Physically, during the holidays, I did not say no to one Christmas cookie. Not one. I didn't say no to seconds. Often I didn't say no to thirds. Because it's the holidays and we use food to celebrate. But my physical body, you know, I'm like, yes, 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 yes. But now I'm getting into 2021 and I'm like, I need to say no to my physical body. And I need to feed now my spiritual body. We truly use food to celebrate, and that's biblical. It's also biblical to abstain from food to say to God, you are the true source of my life. In Matthew chapter 4, remember I read it this morning, Matthew's 1 through 9, soap sprint, I did it this morning. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted in the desert by Satan after fasting food for 40 days. And Satan tempts him, he goes, hey, why don't you turn that stone there into a piece of bread? What does Jesus say? He quotes Deuteronomy, he quotes the law. In Matthew 4:4, he says, yeah, but listen, man shall not live on bread alone, but from every word that comes from the mouth of God. Saying, food's not my source. It's a source, but my true source is the Lord. My true source is God. And this year, River Valley Church, for 21 days of prayer and fasting, it begins tomorrow. We're asking our church to fast. We're asking our church to abstain from food for a time, not to feed our physical body, but to feed and nourish our spiritual body. Last year when we fasted, the last 2 years we've done this, the last 2 years when we fasted, we've done one Wednesday for the 21 days. We said the first Wednesday of 21 days of prayer and fasting, we're going to fast the first Wednesday as a church. And it was a church-wide fast, and community fasts are biblical. We see it in Ezra. We see it in Esther. We see it in the New Testament church. They would take times to, as a group, fast and pray. So as a church, the last 2 years, we would fast the first Wednesday of the 21 days of prayer and fasting. But if we want to see God move like we never have, church, we need to fast like we never have. So this year, Pastor Rob said, listen, campus pastors, you got to let our church know. I'm asking our church to fast every Wednesday of 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to fast. You're going to get the stinky breath. You're going to get the headaches. You will be hangry, but you will be okay. Because every time a little tummy rumble happens, every time the head starts pounding, you say, God, I want you more than I want that food right now. A couple notes on fasting. First, Matthew 6:16, Jesus says, when you fast. He doesn't say if you fast. He says when you fast. Following Christ, it's presumed we fast. I love what Donald Whitney says. He says, Christian fasting is a believer's voluntary abstinence from food for spiritual purposes. Now, fasting is abstaining from food. You know, you might hear a Christian be like, well, I'm fasting, watching cable news for 21 days. Hey, I'm going to fast social media. It's great. I'm just going to get off Facebook. Hey, Pastor, 21 days of prayer and fasting. I am fasting secular music. Great. That's awesome. That's called consecrating. Consecrating is a biblical term where you remove yourself, you separate yourself to be set apart and say, I'm going to remove myself from that because I want to be closer to God. But it's not fasting because you don't need cable news to survive. You don't need social media to survive. You do need food to survive. But the law of survival when you're in the wilderness is the law of three. You can go 3 minutes without air, 3 days without water, and 3 weeks without food and be generally okay. So you need food to survive. But we're saying as a church, we're going to fast every Wednesday of 21 days of prayer and fasting. Now, you follow me here? The difference between consecrating and fasting. We're going to fast. A couple other notes on fasting. Fasting without prayer is dieting. I mean, intermittent fasting right now is huge. I do intermittent fasting. I love it. But that's not biblical fasting, you know? Biblical fasting is I'm going to abstain from food. I'm going to not consume food, but I'm going to consume the presence of God. I'm going to pray. And biblical fasting is like I said, use those tummy rumbles as prayer prompts. And then I do know that there's medical concerns. Talk to your doctor. If you're medically concerned, talk to your doctor. Be like, hey, I want to try this. Are we good? You know, I know we got this and this going on. You know, you can do different kinds of fasts from food. You can do a Daniel fast. Daniel in the book of Daniel, he said, I'm just going to eat what comes from the ground. I'm not going to eat meat. I'm not going to eat dairy. I'm not going to eat sugar or processed foods. He didn't say that, but you get the point. There's different kinds of fasts. Church, I'm asking you to fast. We can do it. I'm going to close with this story of fasting. We have a miracle offering every November. We just had it, and we give to missions. We give to missionaries. And this year, going into miracle offering, we give big, and we pray big, and we're expecting God to move. This year, going to miracle offering 2020, I'm like, I was worried. I was like, I don't know how this is going to happen. 2020 has been a weird year. So I called Josh Kriegler, who's leading Explore. It was one of our deacons. I said, Josh, man, I'm worried. Like, he's actually, him and his wife are on their way to become missionaries in China here soon. And I'm like, dude, I don't know about miracle offering. And he goes, dude, you need to find the faith for it because you're looking at this with natural eyes and you need supernatural eyes. You need spiritual eyes looking at this, going into this. And I'm like, you're right. I'm going to fast. So I fast Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday morning. And then I broke the fast Sunday after services were done. And I'll tell you, miracle offering was the largest miracle offering we ever had as a campus. You can clap. That's awesome. That's amazing. But I didn't fast so that we'd have the largest miracle offering ever. I fasted because I needed the faith for it. I was struggling, and I said, God, I want to see you move. Open my eyes. I want to see it. I want to be a part of it. And the fasting, it brought alignment. It it helped key me in on what God was doing. Now, a couple days after that fast, I was diagnosed positive with COVID-19. And I'll tell you, I know COVID-19 hits everyone differently. For me, I've had worse head colds than when I had COVID-19. And I talked to a doctor. I talked to one of my friends who's a doctor. And I said, listen, I had COVID, but I was fasting days before I was diagnosed positive. And he goes, do you understand, though, the way God designed our bodies? So when you fast, it's a natural detoxification of your body. And it gives your immune system a boost. Think about it. When you get the flu and you get really sick, you don't eat. Your body is a natural way to fight that sickness. So I'm not saying, like, did I have an easy COVID-19 because I was fasting? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying I don't think it hurt. And my doctor backed it up. And there's medical studies of how the medical benefits that come with fasting. So church, fast. We're going to fast. Because if we want to see God move like we never have before, we need to pursue him like we never have before. And we can do it. I believe God can open our eyes. I believe God can include us in on what he's doing. We're going to see miracles in this 21 days of prayer and fasting. We're going to see miracles in 2021, and we are going to see God move. Amen? Amen. So, Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for your word, that it is truth. We thank you that you, God, you're calling us to more. God, that we want to see you move more. And so, God, as we go into this year, we say we're going to pursue you with reading our Bible, all New Testament, starting today. God, by fasting every Wednesday for the next 3 weeks, and God, by spending time in prayer, we thank you, Lord. We love you that you have more for us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.